Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. Welcome, family. We got a great lineup today. We got Mary Richardson, who's going to be our guest speaker. She's going to be talking about her financial fair that's happening April 6th right here in Chicago. So you don't want to miss that. So I want you to take your time this morning. Call your friends. Let everybody know that Mary Richardson is on the line. And we're going to start this morning with Speak to My Heart. This is Donnie McClurkin right here on The Love Journey.
My heart, yeah. Holy Spirit.
speak through my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Now I'll go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak through my heart, Lord.
My
give me your holy word.
Give me your holy word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear, then
I know what,
then I know what to do.
I won't go on.
I won't go on.
I'll never go on my own.
No,
just your spirit guide.
Let
your word abide.
Oh,
speak to my heart, Lord.
Speak to me.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. That was Donnie McClurkin and Speak to My Heart. Yes, yes. We're going to get ready and move ourselves into prayer. But I just want to share something with you. On my way to sleep, I was listening to Joel Osteen. And he said, we got to get into the season of favor. And I thought that was really powerful. The season of favor. He said his favor is taking you where you could never have gone on your own. He said you got to get this down in your spirit because the season of your life is going to be filled with favor, increase, promotion, and blessing. Nothing is impossible for our God. He said your time too valuable. Your assignment isn't too important to go through life thinking about what you didn't get over anything that's holding you back. He said, it's too valuable. Your assignment is too important. He said, God has destined you to do great. God has given you an anointing, God's blessings, God's favor. And so that's what I want you to focus in on today, God's favor. You are God's favorite. All right, we're going to get ready and tune in to the one, the only Most High. And as we invite the stillness into this right now moment, recognizing how we start our day is how we live our day, giving glory and honor to the presence of God in our life right now. Recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, many names. We recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And as we become intentional about the breath, because there's power in the breath, family. And sometimes we forget to breathe. And so I want you to take in a deep breath. Breathing in through your nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, then release the breath. And as we breathe in, I want you to breathe in gratitude this morning. Just saying, thank you, God. Thank you for waking me up in my right mind. Thank you for the activities in my limbs. I just want you to say thank you, God. Move from your head and into your heart space as we release, releasing all things that no longer serve a higher purpose together, family. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Thank you, God. And let's breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. The last time, family. Be still and know that I am, God. Breathe. And release. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Divine Mother, Father God, as I come before you, asking that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart will be so acceptable in thy sight, I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, in this right now moment and remove all of me and let all of you come forth, Holy Spirit. Let every word of my prayer be yours, God. Let every thought that I think be yours, God. And as we come together in this one mind and one spirit, Holy Spirit, we ask you to bring forth an anointing upon this show today, God. We ask you to bring forth an anointing and enlarge our territory, God. I ask you to bless our thoughts this morning, God, to receive your daughter's word to us today, God. We ask you to bless Mary Richardson today, that every word she speak will be your words, God. Every thought she think will be your thoughts, God. And that each and every person that will hear her on this show today will be blessed by your words that you have downloaded into her spirit to share with us today, God. I ask you to bless everything she touch, God, to anoint her hands, that everything she touched not only turn to prophetic gold, but prophetic platinum gold. God, I ask you to anoint and bless her feet, that everywhere she tread, her feet shall be upon holy ground. Holy Spirit, I ask you to bless her, her husband, her family, her seeds, God, and even her seeds, God, and everything that she does, and everywhere she go, God, the world will come to know Mary Richardson as yours. Beloved daughter, God, I thank you for her presence. I thank you for her gift. I thank you for her saying yes and having the courage to move past her own self, God, to do your will and your work, God. I thank you for each and every person who will hear her today. I thank you for those who will come to the recording line. I thank you for those who had a mind and couldn't make it this morning, God. I thank you for this radio show that touches all over the world. Thank you, God, for honoring us with your presence this morning, God. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your favor, God. Thank you for increase, God. Thank you for promotion, God. Thank you for all that is and all that will ever be, God. I ask you to bless Mary's event on April 6th, which is the day that I came to the planet, God. I know it's a blessed event, God. I thank you that those people who will come to this event, God, will be so blessed, God, that they will have the anointing of Abraham and be so blessed that even the blessed will call them blessed. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the anointing of Abraham. I thank you for the anointing of Solomon, God, not just for the wealth, but the wisdom to move your kingdom on earth forward, God. I thank you for the anointing of David upon our lips, that our cup runneth over this morning, God. I thank you for this day that you have given us as a present to present your gift as us to the planet, God. I just thank you right now for each and every blessing that is coming our way that you have already got in store for each and every one of us, Holy Spirit. I just thank you right now, God, as we hear your words this morning, God. Thank you. And so it is. And so it is. Whew. Whew, thank you, God. Good morning, family. Good morning. We have an amazing special gift to the planet that's going to come speak to us. We're going to play a song. So I want you to take your time right now and invite your friends to hear this message, because this is going to be a mighty message. And let me tell you something. If you don't have your pen and paper, what do a great manifestor do? They write it down. Get your pen and paper, because she's going to give us some really good nuggets. Every time I hear her speak, I know God is speaking through her. And so you don't want to miss the opportunity by not writing down what she says, because you're going to get some good nuggets this morning from Miss Mary Richardson. So I want you to call your friends, invite them on this line this morning. Let them know that Mary Richardson is here. She's going to talk to us about money, finances, all the things that we need to do to get our finances in order, to build legacy, real estate, stocks and bonds. And we're not talking about somebody who just read about it. We're talking somebody who's been about it, living it every day. So I'm talking about Mary Richardson. So I want you to get your friends on the line. I want you to tell them to come on this morning, listen to Mary Richardson, and also let them know there's going to be a big event April 6th right here in Chicago at Apostolic Church on 35th in Indiana. But we're going to get all that information from Miss Mary Richardson right after this. This is going to be Kim right here. This is Jesus. I love this song. And then we're going to bring Miss Mary on. And I want you to call your friends right now. Let them know Mary is here.
Straight.
Jesus is the love of my life.
Another episode of The Love Journey. That was Kim and Jesus. That was also Ron Isley and Patti LaBelle. Welcome, welcome, family. We got Mary Richardson this morning. I hope you got your pen and paper. I hope you invited some friends out to listen to this call this morning on Blog Talk Radio. Blessing us with her gift this morning is Mary Richardson. She's a community activist. She is a mother. She is a wife. She is an investor, and she's ready to tell her story right here on the Love Journey. And also, she's going to have an event April 6th right here in Chicago. I want you to invite your friends out. I want you to come out. Everybody has to come and learn. It's time to build wealth in our community. Good morning. Good morning. I want you to put your hands together for this gift. She's a gift to the planet. I tell you, she is a heart of gold, a woman of God. And when I met, you could just see the love pouring out her heart. She is a woman that I just admire with all my soul. I want you to put your hands together right now for Miss Mary Richardson. Yay! Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Janelle. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. Mary, I'm super excited. Can you tell?
Just a little bit. I'm like, wow. I am so honored, so honored to be with your audience this morning. It's a blessing. It is truly, and I'm grateful. I'm so grateful.
Thank you. So let's get started. You know, before we know radio time will be up, let's get started. You know what I always wonder? How did you start? Did you come from wealth? Did you come from money? And how did you go from wherever you are to where you are today? So those are the kind of questions we're going to be talking about today. But let's start off with who is Mary Richardson, I guess, right? We should let them know who you are.
Absolutely. Mary Richardson is a country girl from the Delta region of Mississippi. And I'm never, ever to forget that. And by the grace of God and the favor of God, I am where I am today. And that's who gets the glory. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Go
ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, did you come from money? Did your parents invest? How did you get started?
No, I did not come from wealth. I came from, I was blessed to come from a two-parent household. My mom was a day worker. My daddy worked on the railroad there in the Delta region of Mississippi. But one thing that they enforced with my siblings and I is the direction of the order for life, and that was always to put God first. And they had a very, very strong emphasis on education. And to that, I was blessed to go from Mississippi on a scholarship to the University of California at Berkeley, and that was life-changing, absolutely life-changing. Yes. And went there, I graduated, and I felt that I was just as good as everybody else. And the eye-opening experience of going from Mississippi to Berkeley to a region, to a college that had 30,000 students, that was mind-blowing. That was bigger than my hometown. My whole county didn't have 30,000 people in it. So from that, I graduated, came back to the Midwest, married the love of my life, and we have been married for 36 years this year. Mr.
Congratulations.
Who is also from Mississippi. So we're just two country bumpkins here in Chicago trying to do what he wants us to do. So he is my priest, my provider, and my protector, and I am blessed to have that man.
Okay.
So,
well, thank you for your love. Thank you for love. So how did you and your husband decide that you all were going to start investing? Is real estate your first investment, or was stocks and bonds your first investment?
Well, no, neither one of those was mine. This was his dream, and he didn't tell me I was in his dream. So he prayed, he got his dream answered. I was fired from corporate America, and from that we went into investing in real estate. He says, you know what, we got a new baby. Both of us can't be in corporate America, so we started investing with one little piece of property at a time. And from that we got into learning all there was to know about real estate, and that blossomed into us doing consulting, learning the different steps, the pitfalls of how to create generational wealth, wealth that will surpass us and pass it down to the next generation, who we try to, I think we've made responsible to take this on. But that's kind of how we got started, just buying one little piece of property at a time. And I cannot stress working together and having a common goal. So that's kind of how we got started into that. From that, we started doing workshops, and I started going to the foreclosure auctions and being a consultant. So God has just opened up just an amazing opportunity, and he keeps doing it, Janelle. So it just blows my mind. I'm glad to get up every day. Go ahead.
Okay, so No, you're doing a great job. No apology. So you all just had in your mind, how did real estate become like the thing to do for you all? And from going from zero to saying, okay, I'm going to invest, did somebody help you? Did you get a mentor? How did this come about?
First of all, my husband is a researcher, and he's all financial. He researches, and he loves doing things, learning. And I caught on to his vision. So then we went to a two-day class, and that really sparked everything. Yes, we did have a mentor. We were blessed to have a mentor that took us by the hand. Paul Huey, from years and years ago, literally just took us by the hand and said, come here, young people, let me teach you what I know. So Mr. Paul Huey was one of those from the Huey brothers from the south side of Chicago who took us under his wing, and we're never, ever to forget that. So that's why we have always tried to reach back, just because somebody pulled us in. You can't do this by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. You've got to have a team. Absolutely.
Got to have a team. Wow. So when you got your first, how did you get your first property?
Well, I got the first property from education, knowing how to research. And education, my husband and I always said that education is all it's cracked up to be, Janelle. We were at a family dinner. And had a family member to say, you know what, getting ready to knock my house down, and they can't do that. But from reading and learning, we found out, yes, they can knock your house down. So from that, he says, well, I don't want to be bothered. I'll deed it to you for $10. So he deeded that house to us for $10. We had the knowledge and the research ability to go in and get that property out of demolition court, and we still have that property to this day.
It's located in Inglewood, right?
And it is, most of our properties are located in Inglewood. We got into Inglewood just like that. So what that allowed us to do is when we purchased properties in Inglewood, we were then able to turn around, fix those properties up, and rent them back to the community at decent rates. because everybody can't live on the north side of Chicago. Everybody can't pay $1,500 a month for rent. So we were able to rehab those properties and put them back on, A, the tax rolls, and B, affordable housing. So that's and we just took that model. It's not rocket science. We just took that model and just kept duplicating that model over and over and over again. And once we got to a certain point, we were able to take equity out of those properties. And that's how those three young black girls got educated at Xavier University of New Orleans.
Yeah. All right. So, and they didn't have to take out no student loans, right?
They didn't have to take out student loans. We were blessed. My middle daughter wanted to pursue a degree in medicine, so she is a physician in Brooklyn. So we were able to do a big chunk, the biggest chunk of her medical school tuition, real estate. So, you know, in the creation of wealth, to whom much is given, much is required. Much is required. So we have to have a mindset. We have to have, you can get the wealth, but if you don't, if you're not responsible and you don't know how to be a good steward over it, and when we create wealth, we have to understand it's not ours. We're only a conduit. We can get the money, but with the money has to come the wealth mentality. And that's one of the things, you know, we have to be so careful of. And even when we create wealth, we want to protect the wealth. We have to protect
it. So let's talk
that,
about that.
You know, how do I
so when you say a wealth mentality, what does it mean to have
a wealth
mentality?
A wealth mentality says that until I get from point A to point B, I'm okay with buying things out of the secondhand store. And that's what my husband and I did for years because we had a plan. We had a plan that this is where we're going and this is how we're going to get there. When you fail to plan, you are going to fail. You have to plan. So then it was having the constitution in our heads to say, this is, we're going to stay the course. I might be able to do what I want to do in 10 or 15 years, but I'm okay with shopping in secondhand stores, and I'm okay with getting my girls' clothes from a yard sale. So we have to learn the difference between what I need and what I want. Big, big difference. And then also having the confidence that a Gucci purse does not define who I am. A Louis Vuitton doesn't define who I am. It is what I made up. It is my what I feel, what I to the wealth mentality that I'm going to delay what I want, and I'm just going to deal with what I need. And then also, we are strong believers in giving back. Strong believers in giving back. You can never, ever give to the universe, and we know who holds the universe, the Lord God Almighty. You can never, ever give more than you will get. And that is so simple that we don't get that. We don't get that. So the wealth mentality entails a lot of different things. It's when I get the wealth, is it going to change me?
Wow. So let's slow down a little bit because I want them to really get this. What you're saying is to have a plan. You got to have a strategy to become a millionaire. It's a strategy. You can't just willy-nilly it. You have to have a plan. That's what she's saying, a plan, family. That means you got to make sure that you're building your relationship with your money, that everything that's coming in is not going out. So you're looking at ways to strategize how you use what you need just to get your needs met so that you can create wealth with the rest of your money. Is that basically what you're saying, Mary?
Absolutely.
Having a plan?
Absolutely. You got to have a plan, you know, and at the base of every plan is this what I want to do, God? But is this what you, does my plan line up with your plan. And that's where we have to start first. We got to start first. First things first. This is what I want to do. But is this what you want me to do? Because the safest place to be is in His will. And if we're not in His will, nothing's going to go right. Nothing is going to go right. The wealth that you build will just go straight through your hands. So that's where we want to start, is on our knees saying, Lord, is this what you would have me to do? And if that is what is, if your will and His will lines up together, then you got to put feet to your faith, Janelle. And that is, I got to do something. So then, Lord, put the right people in my path. People come into our life for a season, a reason, and a lifetime. Either they're going to deposit something in our lives, or they're there to withdraw something. We got to know the difference. Got to know the difference. So that end, education is so important. It is so important. We still research to this day. We still read. So we're constantly trying to improve ourselves in education, education, education. You know, if you're going to get in a car, you got to know how to drive it. You just can't get in a car and not know that you need gas and oil and all that kind of stuff. We got to be educated. Got to be educated. Yes.
Okay, so you said have a plan. So when you said protect the wealth, you said not only do we have to create, have a wealth mindset, but you said we also have to protect the wealth. What does that mean, to protect our wealth?
To protect our wealth, when we purchase properties, we want to make sure that we have done, A, our homework, and that it's not going to come back and be taken away from us. And, B, that gets into how we're going to hold the wealth. And holding the wealth, as far as real estate is concerned. So when you purchase real estate, and a lot of people say, I want it in my name. That's not where you want to go with it. You want to hold the title to your property in either a limited an LLC or a land trust. So then you want to be able to say, I own the trust. And what's in the trust? What's in the trust is property A, B, C, D. And if you're having a living trust, then a living trust is like a big box. I'm going to put my will in there. I'm going to put properties that I own in there, everything that's going to be in there. So, you're not going to walk around with the chest to stick out to say, I got my name on a piece of property in South Shore. I got my name on this, because we want to have trust set up. And that is so important, because when you leave here, when you leave this earth, you're not just going to go to glory. You go to glory. But the law says that if you don't have your business in order, then whoever you leave behind, there's a price tag attached to that. So when we pass away and we don't have our business in order, then the wealth that we could have created is going to go to attorney fees. It's going to go to probate court. I sat on a panel on Saturday at Transformation Church for pastors and leaders, and it was just awesome, because we had an attorney there that was teaching the pastors and leaders that you need to protect your wealth. Put your properties in a trust. It's ill to walk around with your name on everything. So we just have to get educated. You have to get educated. So when we don't have those things protected, when we pass away what they call intestate without a will, then that means that whatever you own has got to go into probate court. So then your heirs are going to be fighting, and when that happens, when at the end of the day, then the attorney usually will get the bulk of that estate for attorney fees. All that you work very hard for. So you research, what is the best way to hold my title when I create the wealth? Who do I leave in charge of my money? And we never ever want people over our wealth that is not used to money. We put people, we designate individuals to be executor of our estate according to how they feel about money. Do they have the same do they have the same personality? Do they have the same, do they treat money the same way? We never want to leave executives over our money that's not used to money and not going to actually line up with what our wishes are. So that's some of the way that we leverage. So then do that. It can last forever. And this is not rocket science, Janelle. What we do is just, you know what, how was wealth created in this country? How was wealth, most of the wealth in this country was created through real estate. It's not rocket science. You look at the Rockefellers. You look at the Kennedys. You probably, you can't tie their names to anything. So we just, in the day and time that we're in right now, like when I came up, I'm a baby boomer. We had to go to the library. We needed to know the Dewey Decimal System. Young people don't have a clue of what the Dewey Decimal System is. But now all you got to do is Google. That's all. So we're in the information age where things are at our fingertips. Yes.
So someone's on the line right now, ready to get started. What do you suggest where they should start? If they at ground zero, should they start looking at their credit? Is credit important? I mean, what is the first step to developing our wealth through real estate?
Well, I'm going to say education. And that actually leads me into talking about our financial fair on April 6th.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so honored to be a part of this church, Apostolic Faith Church, where our shepherd and our visionary, the Horace E. Smith, who brings these things to the community and believes in financial literacy. At that fair that day, we will have sessions on budgeting. We'll have sessions on investing in stocks, session on entrepreneurship, buying homes, getting the right mortgage, credit wisdom, and then I will do a closeout session on the ins and outs of foreclosure. But to answer that young person's question is sit down and determine where you are right now. Where you are right now is do I first of all have the knowledge to move into this? And before I invest, I want to know as much as I can about if I'm going to buy real estate. What's my plan? Most people will start out in real estate because a lot of times the stock market is very intimidating, very, very intimidating. So then we'll start out doing real estate. But then that becomes then which part of real estate am I going to go into? Get the knowledge first and lay out your plan. Okay, if I'm going to do real estate, where am I right now, and where do I hope to be in the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? But you cannot do it without being educated. When you are not educated, then you open yourself up to the possibility of being taken advantage of. And I can almost promise you you will be taken advantage of when you don't know the very basic questions of who, what, when, and where. So, deal with distressed properties. When you deal with distressed properties, the only thing that we assume is that everything is a problem until we take all of the layers off of it. Who has a right to sell this property to me? What is it that they're selling to me? They sell to me the PIN number. Well, what does that mean? So all of those things come into play when you want to get started in real estate. Education, education, education is very important. And then also, what's going on with my credit? You know, so it may be a situation that this individual, say, in March of 2019, I want to do real estate, but there are things that I need to do before I get there. So it may be 6 months down the road when she gets everything lined up. So it's not immediate that I want to do real estate in March and I'm going to jump into it in April. Be patient. Definitely. Because the foundation that you that you build, you want to make sure that it is a very firm foundation and you're not having to go back and redo things so that you take two steps forward and then you come back, you lose a step. So then you want to make sure that every step you take is a very safe and a sturdy step. Yes.
So you told us about the event on Saturday, April 6th, but you didn't tell us time and address.
Yeah, I heard you say that it was at 35th and Indiana. We're that little small church on the corner of 39th and Indiana. Where
39th,
Bishop Horace
okay.
met at 39th and Indiana, Apostolic Faith Church. Yesterday we just celebrated 39 years of him being the pastor. So we're just blessed to sit under his leadership. Awesome, awesome leadership. But we're at 39th and Indiana. Registration is going to start at 9, and we will start very promptly the sessions at 10 o'clock. The beauty about how this is set up is that we will do the sessions concurrent. So then there will be a morning session of budgeting, stocks and bonds, entrepreneurship, credit wisdom. So an individual might say, well, you know what, I'm not interested in entrepreneurship, so I'm going to do budgeting in the morning, but then I'll do something else in the afternoon session. So the sessions are concurrent, but everyone will sit in the ins and outs of foreclosure session. And then also, Pastor is all about youth. It is so exciting to have at the same time a youth financial fair going on. So if we can catch young people early, that would just be awesome. So the young people session will start at the same time that the adults will. And we are starting actually with sixth graders, Janelle. Junior
Ooh,
high school.
Sixth graders. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, getting them early. So these students will be split in two sessions, sixth to eighth graders, and then ninth through 12th graders will be doing, those are individuals that will be in the youth part. And the youth are going to be taught some of the same things that the adults are going to be taught, but on their level. For instance, they're going to be creating a budget. So if we can get to young people early, then we would not have to deal with this buying $200 and $300 gym shoes, because they will see the value that the gym shoe doesn't determine who they are. So the young people are going to be talking about money, creating budgets, and then they're going to go through a whole process of saying, okay, you've got X number of dollars. Tell me how you're going to manage that. And they will be taught, this is how you're going to manage your money. So that's exciting. That's very, very exciting. So individuals who come, do not leave your children at home that day. Under no circumstances. We've got to educate the youth as well. You know, if I and my husband and I had learned some of these things when we were in sixth grade, It would have been awesome, 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 awesome. So yes, we're very, very excited about the financial fair. And the one thing about it, Janelle, it is free. It is free. The whole day is free. So that's awesome.
That is awesome. Free is always awesome. So. Let's talk about the ins and outs of foreclosure, because we have a couple of people that's in foreclosure that come to this call, and quite a few,
okay.
matter of fact, might be in foreclosure, because I've had people call me to pray about their foreclosure. What should they know right now while they're in foreclosure?
Well, what they should know right now is, first of all, don't just shove your papers away. You have rights. If you're in foreclosure, please, by all means, go to all of your court dates. Go to your court dates. And then also, once you receive your lawsuit, it's called a list pendants notice. When you receive that, you have to answer that. You have to answer that lawsuit. If you have paperwork, one of the first documents that you got from the court system was a complaint to foreclose. There is a help desk in the Daily Center on the lower level. of the Daily Center, that I believe that office opens between 8 and 8:30, they will assist homeowners in actually answering that lawsuit. And that is a free service that is offered. So make sure that they answer those lawsuits and go to court. Go to court because you need to be able to tell the judge your side of the story. The thing about Illinois, we are a judicial state. And what that means is the judge has the final say on what happens. But if you don't go to court, then you're going to be held in your case is going to go into default. So then what the owner's options are, you have to do something. Not doing anything is not an option when you're in foreclosure. You look at the file date on your complaint to foreclose. The Illinois statute indicates that you've got 7 months to do something. 7 months. But in that seven-month window, that case is still moving through each month. It's continuing to move. So then what you are able to do in that seven-month window is, if you can't keep the house, you can sell it, okay? You can refinance. Those things are hard, but one of the young ladies that we have coming to the workshop is actually in the mortgage business. So the options, I can refinance, you can try to modify, you can try to do a short sale. So those are some of the options, but an option that is not available to you is not doing anything. That is not an option. You have to do something. So then in that seven-month window, that becomes public information. So once that case is filed, it is public and anybody can see it. So a lot of times I run into homeowners in the court system, and they think that their information is private. It is not private. It is public. So to that end, when that case hits the circuit court, those individuals are going to be marketed by attorneys, investors, loan companies, because everybody is trying to market to that homeowner. But in that seven-month window, the only person who has a right to sell that homeowner, the homeowner maintains all of his bundle of rights in that seven-month window. But at the end of that seven-month window, if the owner has not exercised any of those options to sell, to refinance, to try to modify, to do a short sale, then that property will actually end up on the auction block. And when I say auction block, that is either a sheriff's sale or a judicial sale. And when that happens, then your owner could very well lose everything, everything. And what some owners will do is file bankruptcy at the last minute. If they file bankruptcy at the last minute, then that property cannot be sold at an auction. But once it is sold at a public auction, then the owner still has time after that. What I run into sometimes with homeowners, they'll actually, because I sit in the auction every day, they will actually show up at the auction, and there's two areas that we're generally intimidated by, and that's the medical field and the legal field. So what happens is when your house gets sold at an auction, if an investor bought it, 9 times out of 10, they're going to show up on your doorstep that afternoon telling you you have to move. Do not, under any circumstances, move out of your house on the day of your auction, because we are, again, as I said, a judicial state. So whatever happens at that foreclosure auction, the judge has to confirm the sale. The statute is, from the date of the auction, formation hearing is 30 days. And in that 30-day window, the investor does not own that property. If that is, if you have any of your listeners who are in that window where the property was sold, and you're going to get, that's why I say don't throw your papers away. You're going to get notice of the date of your confirmation hearing, the time, and the courtroom. Please go. Please go, because then you're able to say automatically from the date of the confirmation hearing, you're automatically going to be given an additional 30 days, but you can always ask the judge for an additional 30 days. So now you're 90 days from the date of your auction. And that investor cannot come in there and take your property. I was at the auction a couple of months ago, and a young lady had a property in Bronzeville. And she was there, and I caught her after the auction. I was talking with her, and I was telling her, young lady, under no circumstances, you know, do not move out of your house. And she called me later to say, hey, look, they came out that day saying you have to move. So know your rights. Know your rights. And I know that if an individual is in foreclosure, I know you think that everything is coming down on you. But let me just share a testimony. One of the young ladies at our church, I sat with her in the auction less than two years ago, where I had to sit there with her, and her property got sold, a very nice home near Oak Park. But the amount of faith and education she had sat under me for probably about 6 months to a year, the amount of faith that she had was just unbelievable. Less than 2 years ago, she attended, just last year, she attended the financial fair. She was sitting in the credit part of the fair. And the little tidbit that she walked away with, because at this point she was renting, at the tidbit that she walked away with is that if I am renting, my landlord can report my own time rental payments to the credit union, and it will increase my credit score. The financial fair was last year, April 28th. I got a text from this young lady on last Friday. She has now been approved for $366,000 to go in and a new house. And in addition to that, she has bought an invest. She and her husband have bought an investment properties. This is in the year from the financial fair last year to today. And that, now I've been doing this for 30 plus years, and that blew me away. That blew me away. But just that little tidbit of information that she got from the financial fair last year, she'll walk into the financial fair this year with a powerful, powerful testimony that if God did it for me, he'll do it for you. But she did it with knowing, having education. Yes. Mm.
And no, so now is this the same lady within 2 years whose house went into foreclosure?
It is. It is.
And then two years after that, she's approved for 300 and some thousand. Look at God. Look at God. Look at God.
Absolutely.
Wow.
He has no respect to person. No respect to person. And sometimes I think that as believers, we live beneath. It's like you said in the beginning, you were listening to Joel Osteen. We live beneath our privilege. We live beneath our privilege. So that we don't cash in our inheritance. We have to make the pages and the books between Genesis and Revelation. We have to make that. These are the promises. I'm going to cash in on your promise.
Wow. So you and your husband don't only invest in real estate. You also do stocks and bonds. Let's talk how you got into stocks and bonds.
You know what? That's all his thing, Janelle. I trust he does what he does. But he's taken classes on it. He does a lot of research on it. We have attended Warren Buffett's stockholders meeting. But that we've learned over the 36 years is that you do what you do and I do what I do. I have a working knowledge of that. He has a working knowledge mm-hmm. of this. But when we combine that, we can go from point A to point B a lot faster. And the underlying thing here is that I trust. I trust his judgment. I trust him to make good decisions. Well, we'll sit down. He can tell me the broad picture, but he knows it's got to make sense to this country girl from Mississippi. He'll tell me the broad picture that, you know what, we're getting ready to invest in this. You're on board? Yes, I'm on board. And then also he has taught that to our daughters where they all have their own portfolio. Yes. Yes, definitely. My husband worked at Philip Morris for 20, almost 30-some years. So when I was talking about the sacrifice in the beginning, we first got married, say that we were poor. I guess you got to find another word for it, you know, double interest mortgage, all of that. But he worked at Philip Morris. So we sat down and said, you know what, let's sacrifice. Let's sacrifice learning the tennis and golf and all of that. So, you know, we bought all of the Miller Philip Morris stock that we could buy. All that we could buy, all the extra money that we had, we bought Philip Morris stock. And at sometimes Philip Morris stock would split 2-for-1, 3-for-1. But 35, 36 years later, that has been a true blessing for us, is the sacrifice that we made to buy the Philip Morris stock. But he did all the research on it. You know, where is it on the market? What is it trading at? All of that. So that really just kind of went into something completely different. So we went from Philip Morris stock to buying other stocks. But he would do all of the projection analysis and say, you know what, I think this is what we should do. Fine. Then let's do the sacrifice and buy the stock. So when when you're looking at creating wealth, you want to look at multiple streams of income, And one of the things that I was telling the pastors and leaders on Saturday is that when you get there, you don't have to make apologies. It is okay to walk in a wealthy place. It is okay. Mm. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to drive it. We don't have to wear it. I sit in the auction every day of the week. You went to the auction with me. At any given time, there is in that auction between $5-7 million. But when you look at the individuals who sit in that auction, look like they don't have a plug nickel. But when you sit in the auction and you get ready to purchase something, you need cash on the spot. So yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to ask you if you had any mistake that you said you made to share with us to not make. What would that be?
We probably could have gotten from point A to point B a lot quicker, but there were deals that we weren't sure about, and we were not risk takers. We started out. We were not risk takers. Well, we would say, you know what? I'm not sure about this deal. Maybe we shouldn't do it. So we wanted to be safe investors because we had people to feed that needed to eat every day. We have tuition, high school tuition, college tuition. So I don't know that you'd even call it a mistake, but we just were very, very sure investors, where we didn't get into transactions where we wanted to guess. I am grateful and thankful to God that over the years we were blessed to make good decisions, and those decisions came through prayer. And when we would pray about things together, you know that God is not the author of confusion. If you don't have peace about something, to go in the other direction. It just kind of boils down that way. So that's kind of how we approach, not kind of, that is how we approach it. We pray about it. And 9 times out of 10, when we get up off our knees, both of us got the same message. So, okay, all right, well, let's move on to something else. Yes.
Wow. So here's a question. What can you do if there's a court date to take possession?
go to that court date. Go to the court date to take possession. That court date is called a confirmation hearing. And what that means is that that property was sold at a foreclosure auction, and they cannot take possession until the judge confirms what happened at that auction. And that's why I was saying earlier that individual, that homeowner, should go to court and ask the judge for an additional 30 days. So let's say, for instance, that individual's court date is tomorrow, is today, March 25th. Automatically going to get 30 days. So now you're April 25th. But when you go into court today, you ask the judge for an additional 30 days. 9 times out of 10, he's going to give you that additional 30 days. So now you are 60 days. So now you're April 20th. You're May 25th. So what happens on May 25th is that that investor and or the bank who purchased that property at the foreclosure auction, they then have to go into the sheriff to start the eviction process. So the eviction process can't start until that 30 and or that 60-day window has expired.
Here's a question
go
in the chat
court.
Room. Go to court. I'm 27 years old, and I've saved $10,000, and I'll keep saving so that I can buy my first property. What's the minimum I can go to the auction with to buy my first property?
That depends on a couple different things. Number one is the area. And I like for people to be realistic. I deal with a range of investors from $10,000. Some of them will come to say, Mary, I got a couple million. But then that's going to, let's be realistic. If you've got $10,000, you cannot buy a piece of property downtown. Okay? If you've got $10,000, that may be a piece of property in one of the southern suburbs, or it may be a piece of property in Roseland, but it won't be a piece of property in Chatham or Bronzeville. And I will say for the individual that has the $10,000, be very careful. And when you're starting out, a lot of people come and says, I'm looking for a two flat. Everybody's looking for a two flat. Everybody's looking for a two flat. But start where you can. Because if you buy that little $10,000 house, two bedroom house, in Roseland or maybe and actually Inglewood may be a little difficult for that even now because Inglewood is on the rise. So then say I buy that little $10,000 house in Roseland, I fix it up, and you rent it out. Say you rent it out, you fix it up, you rent it out, and then when we always look at the whole picture. So then I don't want to spend my whole $10,000 because you've got to go in and do fix-up. So you spend the whole $10,000. So actually you're looking for something, maybe $8,000, $7,500, $8,000, fix it up, hold on to it, rent it out. So what can I rent out a two-bedroom house in Roseland for? I can rent that out for maybe $700. So how long does it take if I rent it out for $700? Will I get my investment back? So then now I don't have a mortgage on the property, so I can create a mortgage on the property. And then I turn around and do that same little thing over and over and over again. All I'm doing is duplicating my model. That's it.
Duplicating your model. So it's a system to this. It's a system.
There's a system. Right.
Wow.
There's a system. You know, we can't start out. We didn't start out big. Start out big. You can't, you know. And then I will also say, you know, when you, a lot of times you hear all of the late night cable channels on, you know, fix up your house and that sort of stuff. That is fantasy. That is true fantasy. You know, some of these workshops, some of these TV gurus, their workshops are $10,000, $30,000. No. And I run into it all the time downtown where individuals have paid $20,000, $30,000 for a class, and it's pretty sad, pretty sad. So that person that's got this $10,000, keep your money, keep saving your money until the right deal comes along and you get educated so that you don't lose your $10,000. Yes, question?
Get educated. So let's talk. Yes, let's talk about education. What do that look like? Is there certain books they should be reading? Is there certain podcasts you suggest they listen to? I mean, what do you mean when you say education?
There are different classes that you can take. There are investment groups that you can, involve yourself with. There's an excellent investment group, Jane Garvey. I think she's out of Glen Ellen. Where they have speakers that come in. I teach classes on this as well. Research that you can do, just different classes. Like I said, I teach a class, find out. Sometimes there are classes at the Y that you can take. There's a lot of different workshops throughout Chicago. But be careful with those because when they say, okay, come in and bring your credit card, be leery. Be leery. So, again, I teach classes on it. There's a great real estate group that has speakers that come in every month that teach different things. So, yes, yes.
And what do you suggest any books? They ask any books that you suggest they read.
Books that they should read. Gosh, there's so many books out there. Gosh, you caught me off guard. I'd have to read those because I'll give them the wrong titles. My husband is writing down a book right now. Oh, Rich Dad, Poor Dad is one.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Okay. Yeah. And one of the old books is called The Richest Man in Babylon.
Oh, my God. I'm re-listening to it on the audio. The Richest Man in Babylon in Action. I got the six-hour version where they talk about taking action. I love that book.
The Richest Man in Babylon. Those two books they're awesome. They're absolutely awesome. So those are the two books that I certainly would suggest. And then there is another book that my husband is reading, The Millionaire Next Door.
Oh, yes, that's a good book, too.
Yeah. He's reading that for the third time. He's a reader. So those are
some books
that I would... You're reading that book, too?
So let's... No, I'm not reading The Millionaire Next Door right now. I read it, though. I'm listening to The Richest Man in Babylon in Action right now, which is an extended version about actually how to take steps in action and implementing your plan. It's talking about creating your plan after you hear the story, and then it's really good. It's really, really good. But, so I want to go back to the fair because I want to make sure people really get the information, share the information, and let people know what's happening. So that's April 6th.
Uh-huh,
at 39th in Indiana, and you're going to register at 9 o'clock. And so we want to let people know that this is going to be 9 o'clock. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. 9 o'clock, and they can actually go to our website, which is www.afcchicago.org/stewardship. Again, that's www.afcchicago.org/stewardship. So they can go in on the website and register. One of the reasons we'd like for people to register is so that we can make sure that we have enough materials. We want to, like for the youth, we want to make sure that we have enough facilitators, handouts, that we want to make sure that we have enough. So they can go on www.afcchicago.org slash
stewardship. Or they can actually call the, like if you go on the website, you can register what mm-hmm. grade your child is in, so that it will be broken down registration with grade levels, and then of course the adults can just register. So we'll know we got one adult coming, a child in the 6th grade, child in the 12th grade.
A lady is on the chat line. She says she lives in Maryland.
Uh-huh.
She says she lives in Maryland. She wants to know, do you come and speak in other cities and states? And do you put on your financial fair in other cities and states as well?
Well, I want to, this is not my financial fair. This is the church financial fair, and I don't want to get in trouble. But yes. Personally, I can come and speak. And if I come and speak, I'm not speaking on behalf of the church. I'm speaking on behalf of my company. But yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's
yeah,
some
don't
good
get me
information
in trouble.
To
don't
know.
Get me in trouble with my
We
business.
Don't want to get her in trouble.
This is
I just want to, you know.
I know.
This is not yours. So it's the church's. We don't want to
yeah.
get her in trouble.
No, I love my bishop and my first lady, so no, don't get me in trouble. This is Apostolic Faith Church Financial Fair, and I am just blessed to be a part of it.
Oh, wow, and this is April 6th. Don't forget, April 6th, it starts at 9 o'clock. You don't want to be late. You want to go and get all the information because education is important. We can read books, but you got to implement. And one of the ways to implement is getting out, meet people. And when you meet people, it helps you to implement your plan. Get out to this fair, April 6th. Right here in Chicago on 39th in Indiana, you don't want to miss the opportunity to change the trajectory of your life by getting the information you need to manifest your dreams. And we heard the story. Mary says she came from nothing to where she is today. Her and her husband sat and had a plan. That's the first important thing. Did you all write this plan down? Did y'all write it down and really pray on it? You know, it wasn't willy-nilly. They sat and had a plan. They got their first house by a blessing because they had a plan. They had favor, too.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah.
So if you have one thing you want to leave, say that again.
I'm just saying count the cost. Write your vision.
Write the vision and make it plain. I'm a big advocate of writing it down. I was listening to one of the speakers at one of these events I was at yesterday, and he said, people don't know the trick to manifesting is writing it down. He said, because it touches the subconscious mind when you write it down for the second time. You think it, you write it down, and it touches the subconscious mind twice from the thought and from the written word. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yes, definitely.
So, Mary, I want to thank you for coming to us. Okay, go ahead.
Let me just give out
the phone number. Yes, give out the phone number. Yeah.
People did not catch the website, 773-373-8500. So they can call the church and register, or they can go on the website and register.
Okay, and if you don't have an opportunity to come or you live in another city or state, I would like for you to, I'm going to post this flyer on our Love Journey, and I would like for each and every person to put this flyer on their page so we can invite other people that live in Chicago to come to this event because this is an event that's going to change the trajectory of our lives. I want you there. Let me see. Well, we didn't open up the line. Let's see if anybody got any questions. Press 1 on Blog Talk Radio and star 6 if you're on teleconference line. But I want you to know that this fair is going to have a lot of amazing information. You don't want to miss it, and you want to bring your children. We got to start giving the opportunity to our children and teach our children today. Do you know, most of the people when I grew up in the area I grew up left their homes to their children. And do you know most of the children foreclosed on the home because they didn't understand how to build wealth from the house that they had been given? We were just talking about that last night. how most of the people we grew up with, who houses were given to them by their parents, they lost, all of them lost their homes, Mary, lost free homes that were passed down to them from their parents with no mortgages. And we were talking about, we talked about 10 people who lost their home, lost it. Not paying the taxes, refinancing it, and not having the understanding of money.
Wow. Wow. That's sad. Very sad. Very, very sad. That gets you in the gut, Janelle. It does. Wow.
So what we have to do is learn legacy. How to learn it for ourselves first, because you can't teach what you don't know. And that's why I love that you said education, education. We can't teach our children what we don't know, though, really. Think about it. But if we get ourselves educated, we can teach our children.
Yes. I agree. I totally agree. Totally.
Here's a caller. Good morning, Carla.
Hi, good morning. This has been so helpful to me because I'm in a lot of these arenas and having situations with my home. So thank you for doing this on today. It's been very enlightening. I have a question because I am running a Youth Alive program in Fort Heights, and that's one of the things that I'm trying to teach is about financial literacy and education, and wanted to see who could I contact to maybe come and be a guest speaker for my group, number one. Number two is for the one on Saturday where you're teaching youth finance, I know my son has a game that morning. You said there's going to be an afternoon session as well, so we could register and he could come. We could come in the afternoon. Is that possible?
Yeah. What time? Because I'm not looking at the youth schedule right now. What time would you be able to get there?
I believe he has a morning game, so if he has a morning game, he'll be done by 12, so it would be there like 1 o'clock. Cause it, yeah.
That would be fine. The fair, you would be able to get an hour. You'd be able to get an hour worth of training, but you could still come. You could definitely still come.
Because this is so interesting.
How many people are you speaking of? Because we'd like to make sure we have accommodations.
Right. So if I could get your number, because I need to get parent approval and that sort of thing. Because our Youth Alive runs from 9 to 11:30, but some of those kids do not qualify because I have kids as young as 10. Yeah, so I want to be able to get those parents' permission to bring their kids, or for them to come and bring their kids is really what I want.
Janelle,
yes,
would you be able to get her number for me?
I will, and I'll text you her number.
Okay, all right, then we can schedule stuff, and once we get off air, that's not a problem. We'll work something out. We'd love to have your youth there.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Yes. So here's another. She said that she has a sixth grader, but they also have a program in the morning. Would it be, she said she could be there at 12:30. Can she register online and get there at 12:30? And can she still take class and her daughter takes class? Her daughter's in sixth grade, but she's in sport.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So,
please,
yes, you can be
if
late.
If you don't mind, Janelle, could you please take that person's number for me as well?
I will. I'll take both of their numbers and send them to you.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Oh,
so, is there anything that you
want
to leave the listening audience? The last thing, because we're going to go ahead. I know we took more than your time than we expected, but it's so many people on here who got questions and stuff, but we're almost at the hour, and I don't want to keep you. I know you got to get downtown. So what is the last thing you want to leave your listening audience?
Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And walk in your greatness. You know, there's there's so much that's out there. Walk in it. Be encouraged. And at the base of everything, just be grateful. God will put people in your path to take you from point A to point B. Just be grateful. Today, you know, write your plans down and lift your plans to the Almighty God. And, you know, because he will give us, write your plans down. You got to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's biblical. Write the vision and make it plain. Because when we walk in a wealthy place, we can bring somebody else along with us. And there's a responsibility that comes with that. So we can do this. We can make our children, we can educate our children, we can teach our children legacy, we can teach our children wealth so that they don't have to be in certain situations. Can. One kid at a time. One kid at a time. So be encouraged. If God did it for me and my country husband, he'll do it for everybody else. And our daughter, we're raising our nephew, so he has no respect to person. Be encouraged. Be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
Lift up your eyes. Yeah.
Lift up your eyes. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you so much. It was very good information. And, you know, the one thing that you said, you always give out a something they should listen to on WBBM radio, you said?
Yes.
When last time I heard you speak. Money Talks.
It's called Money Talks, and it's Bob Brinker, and it come on Sunday afternoons.
WLS.
On WLS. Money Talks.
Oh, WLS.
Mm-hmm. And then also.
And it comes on what, about 3 o'clock?
About 3 o'clock. And then also every day on WBBM, Lynn Walters always gives a financial update. He comes on in the morning time. He's on the 25 and the 55, like at 6:25, 6:55. He always gives an update. And then also they always do a noon financial update. So, you know, just immerse yourself and just change your ear. Change your ear. Change how you listen to things and how you embrace things and just walk through every day with your arms and your hands in a receiving position. Yes.
Money Talks with Bob Brinker, and hoping your hands in a receiving position. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I love it.
Well, okay, Janelle, we will talk once we get off. And whenever you get off air, just give me a buzz, and I do have information for you for the young lady from Friday.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And we're about to get off the air now. I want to remind each and every one of us that we are a gift from God, and what we do with our life is a gift back to God. I want to remind you to choose love. Love is the only choice. And remember, don't just dream your God-sized dreams. Live them. This has been Mary Richardson talking to us about money, legacy, and wealth. And you don't want to miss the financial fair. If you didn't get the information, it will be located on our Facebook page. But it is called the April 6th at Apostolic Church on 39th in Indiana, and then registration is 9. Please try to be on time. It's important to get all the information we can so that we can make a sound investment. That's what Mary really told us. She said, don't just go willy-nilly. Do your investment. Do your due diligence to make sure you're making a great investment. You work for your money. You want to make sure where you put your money and plant your money is very sound. And every deal is not a good deal, but the perfect deal is the deal for you that God has given you. So make sure you do your due diligence. And Mary can teach us that on our due diligence. So I tell you, I've learned a lot from Mary, and I just want to say I'm thankful to God for the gift called Mary to this planet. She's helped so many people, and she's blessed my life with information, and I'm She don't know. I've been preparing myself and preparing. I've been reading. I've been listening to Money Talk. I've been doing all the things she told me to do. I put my vision board together, and I am there now. I can't wait to tell you all my blessings. So thank you, Mary, again, for listening and coming in and talking to us today. Thank you for tuning in to all the people who tuned in. And, Mary, we love you. I'm super proud of you and so grateful for you, your husband, and all that you are doing for your nephews, your children, but also for people that you bless. You don't even know how you bless people just every time you speak. Every time I hear you speak, I say, this lady is blessed. You and your husband are a blessing. And if you don't know it, I want you to know today God's favor is all over your life. You can just see it. You continue to walk in the favor. He continued to walk in your favor. Yes. All right. This is amazing. We're going to leave out of here. You know what? Go ahead. What you going to say?
No, I received that. I received that.
All right. Well, we're going to play It's Working to remind you that your seeds are working right now. This is William right here on the Love Journey. It's working, family. It's working. William Murphy.
For favor, this is my season to reap what I have sown. This is my season for grace, for favor. This is my season to reap what I have sown. Been perfect, but I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know He's able. I've got to see in the ground that He's blessing, no more stressing. I've got to see in the ground. Now I'm knowing. And it's showing my season for grace, for favor. It only works when we all do it.
This is my season.
To do what?
To reap what I have sown.
Come on, you say, this is my season for grace. For what else? For favor. This is my season. To reap what I have sown. Everything is working together for my good. Hey, church, everything is working. Don't feel good, but it's working
for my good.
Say it again, y'all. Everything is God is leaning
don't prophesy. I said he leads me. In whose direction?
In my direction.
Come on, you waiting on me to say it. You gotta say it, say it.
He's leading
in my direction.
In my direction.
Cause this is my seed
for grace,
for favor.
Yeah.
This is my seed. Come on, y'all. You raise your hand and say, I've got a seed in the ground. Come on, open your mouth, say, I've got a seed in the ground. And I don't care what your circumstance says, it's already getting better.